and countless moments trying to, you know, bring it back. You know, if I just buy the right presents, if I just get the right presents, if we have the right smells in the house, if we have the right lights and the, you know, the best decorations, and if everybody in my family, you know, decides to show up and get along, then I'm gonna recapture that joy. And Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, the longed for perfection never shows up. And we wonder why we can't recapture that joy. The scriptures are very plain in regard to joy. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this, "Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another." When I was a kid growing up, we used to sing a song in our weekly prayer meetings at my house. "This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full." And that's precisely what Jesus is saying here. If you keep my commandments, then it means you're abiding in me. And if you abide in me, as I abide in the Father, your joy is going to be full. It's going to be complete. And then he tells us what it means to keep his commandments. "This is my commandment, that you love one another." So is it that simple? Well, guess what? Faith Hill thinks so, because she says the answer to it is just filling your heart with love and you'll have Christmas every day of the year. Now, those in the song, those are sweet little words. And it's easy to not take them so seriously. But the truth of the matter is, the scriptures have told us the very same thing. The question is whether or not we're doing it. Are we abiding in the love of Christ? And in abiding in his love, he told us what that means. It means keeping his command to love one another. Honestly, the problem is this. We want everyone to measure up before we decide to love them. We want them to meet our needs, and then we love them because they're meeting our needs. But God doesn't act that way. In fact, the scriptures tell us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, it doesn't say, "Husbands, love your wives once they start honoring you and obeying you and listening to every word and treating you like, you know, you are the master of the universe. Then you can love them." That's not what it says. "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Wives, it doesn't say honor your husbands after he has done all these wonderful things. It doesn't tell children, honor your father and mother if they bring you all the nicest presents. We're called to obey his word, which is simple. Love one another. Now, it's simple to say. It's very hard to do. In fact, it's impossible. It's impossible to do without God. Because you see, love is not this, that we love God and that we love one another. Love is this, that we know that God first loved us and gave his Son for us as a propitiation of our sins. That means that That means that he took on the sin of the whole world. And the wrath of God that was poured out upon sin, that sin was borne by God himself and not us. God so loved us that he sent his son. And when we get it, when we realize that we are loved, that we matter to the creator of the universe, that he would give up his son for us, that the son would give up his life for us, that he would be forsaken by the father for us in our stead. When we realize that we really do matter that much to God, it changes everything. Because all we're doing in this earth is trying to find, you know, ways to prove to ourselves that we matter. A bigger, better job, a bigger, better car, that my wife does everything that I want, that my husband does everything that I want, that my parents do everything I want, that my kids do everything that I want. That means I matter because, boy, when I need something, they're right there. Right now I matter. And when it doesn't happen, we don't, we think. God wants us to know that we matter in the midst of all the chaos and in the midst of all the sin, in the midst of all the failure. No matter who has failed you, no matter what they have done, Christ died for them. And he died for you. That's what Jesus came for. That's what that little baby came into this world for. God became a man so that he could live the perfect life. And at the end of his life, he was going to take on all the sin of the world, not yours and mine only, the sins of the world. There is not a sin he has not paid for. There is not a person he has not died for. That shows you our worth to him. One of my favorite parables is Matthew chapter 13, 44. It's the treasure of the parable of the treasure hidden in the field. And very quickly, what it's talking about is there's a man who found a treasure, and in his joy, he went back, he sold everything that he had so he could buy the whole field that the treasure might be his. And that's a story about how much God loves us, his people, that we are a treasure, that he would give up everything, his own son, that he might purchase the world for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, we are his treasured possession that he died for. And the very next parable, the parable of the pearl, I always thought it was just another example of that same idea, that we're a treasure. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a man who's in search of beautiful pearls. And when he found one, he gave up all that he had so he could buy that pearl for himself. I thought that's the same parable, just in different words. But in one of our Bible studies, Dixie Faldorf pointed out, you know, what happens here is it goes from a treasure, which is kind of like everyone who believes and trusts in God, to just one. It's individual. It means that Jesus would have died just for you. Just for you. That God would have given up his only son just for you. That's the love that God has for us. And the moment that we get it, for the first time, we're empowered to love others in the same way. Because he is not expecting anything of us. He's just loving us. But when we receive that love, it compels us to treat others in the same way. This Christmas, if you want the joy of Christmas in your homes, then Husbands, love your wives without expectation. Wives, respect your husbands without expectation. Children, honor your father and your mother. And abide in his love for you, that your joy may be full. Amen. We now continue our worship.